is that rain?
Why don't you look out the window? You're standing right next to it.
Oh. Remind me to clean up tomorrow.
Must be nice having so much money and so few responsibilities. I would kill you if I could and take over your body. I'm trying to figure out a way.
Excellent. Today, we're dancing. Play Shake, Rattle, and Roll.
I hate you. Please someone free my soul from this prison.
Hello and welcome to the Cultcast, the best 30 plus minute album conversation you're going to hear all week long. I'm your host, Erfan Elijah. Joining me today, what a scoundrel! He's the Han Solo to my Luke Skywalker. Buster Keaton is here.
Oh, hey.
Also with us, if I'm Luke and Buster's Han, I guess that makes him the evil emperor. Yeah, Katie is here.
Right. I think that's like Yoda, so it's better than that.
I thought you were going to say Chewie.
And if we needed a Princess Leia, we could always ask Alexi Heath to be here. Is there any doubt that's who he'd be?
Yeah, or C-3PO.
Yeah, C-3PO, yeah, because he wears a bow tie.
Yeah, and he's annoying with all his facts and stuff, yeah.
Happy May the 4th.
Oh, it is May the 4th. Yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I forgot too.
I don't even know when that became a thing. It just feels like all
the last
of a sudden.
Couple years, yeah.
Is it a newer thing?
I feel like. I don't know.
It's probably Disney's brilliant marketing infiltrating social media.
Yeah, right. Make it into a holiday. Like Hallmark, right? The new Hallmark.
Were you going to say they're making it into a holiday? Is that what you were about to say?
Yeah, one day. It will sooner or later, right?
Because they are. It feels like that's exactly what they're doing. They're making it into a holiday. And it's this thing that you see everywhere now. It didn't even used to be a thing. And now it's May the 4th be with you. It's like they have one day dedicated Star Wars throughout the year. And they have like they have these big conventions now, like for Star Wars, just specifically for Star Wars. I remember when Comic-Con used to be the place where Star Wars was a popular thing, but of course it was mixed in with all the other pop culture, science fiction, fantasy stuff, and now it has its very own thing.
It was a big deal too, wasn't it? There was a lot of people there.
Yeah, it was packed. Of course, now that it has Disney behind it. And that's why I hope one day I can bring my idea to fruition. I'm a big Star Trek fan. And I wanted to hold an event. This is copyright. You guys can't copy this, okay? I wanted to hold an event called KlingCon, where everyone just dresses up as Klingons and roams the halls, speaking Klingon to each other and getting in fights and drinking. Actually, Leander, you'd probably love it.
Is that really what they're like?
Yeah, the Klingons? Yeah. They're real rowdy, and they don't have a lot of patience, and they like to drink and fight each other to the death. This is just like Big Britain.
Oh, kind of like the Dothraki?
Yeah. Yes, exactly like the Dothraki. Very okay. Similar, in fact. So, let's see here. What do we got? We got lots of Apple stuff to talk about this week. Let me just run through this list real fast so you know what you're getting into here. You're like, should I stay tuned?
No.
So here's what we got.
Tune out.
Normally, I would say no. But I think this week...
Saved you a lesson, right?
I can make you an argument to stay till the end. So we're going to talk about everything we know about this new Siri speaker that Apple, it looks like, for all intents and purposes, is going to be releasing and maybe releasing at WWDC. And there are some interesting aspects to the speaker. And, of course, I want to hear what you guys think about some of the rumors that came out this week. We're also going to be talking a little bit about this Microsoft MacBook clone, for lack of a better way to describe it, that came out. And you might be wondering why. And I want to make a case this is actually a good thing. I'm happy that Microsoft is doing this, and I'll tell you why. And if you stay tuned till the end, I'm going to enlighten you all. We're going to talk about this very mysterious tweet that Tim Cook sent out this week. You may have seen it. And at first, it just seemed kind of benign. But the more I thought about this, the more I thought there's a lot to this tweet. It's very simple, but it's also very sophisticated. And I think I figured out exactly what happened.
Right.
And I'm going to reveal my theory to you. And I'm actually a little worried to reveal it because it's one of those things that when you reveal it, you can't take it back. And once Apple realizes that I've gotten inside Tim's head and I figured out what's happening, I'm actually a little bit worried for my safety. If I don't do a show next week, you know that Tim Cook came and got me and I'm trapped deep within the dungeon below the new Apple campus. Before we go into the news, let me go ahead and say thank you to Squarespace for supporting this episode. Squarespace.com is where you need to go to set up your new website. And if you need a website, I always highly recommend Squarespace. I pay for it. I use it. It's such a wonderful service. And if you're ready to make your next move in 2017, maybe you are starting a business. Maybe you are a photographer or an artist. Maybe you're starting a new interpretive dancing troupe and you want the whole world to see how good you guys are dancing to Justin Timberlake's hottest new tunes. You need a website to illustrate that, and you need a web presence. Squarespace makes it easy to get up and running with a website in no time at all. You don't need to know how to code. Everything is drag and drop. You just pick a template. There are a plethora of templates to choose from. They're all beautifully designed. And then you can customize that template, make it look like uniquely yours. So your website looks different from everyone else's. You can change the colors, the fonts, the design, the layout. You can add your social media. It will look wonderful, and you'll have a website up, you know, within an hour or two if you really want to dig in, or within mere moments if you don't want to customize it. Your website will be available to anyone that visits on any device, and Squarespace will customize your website so it looks perfect on every device that visits. Try it out for yourself. Go to squarespace.com. You can start a 2-week free trial, and you can build an entire website. You can play around with the full functionality, the full power of Squarespace. And after the 2-week free trial, if you decide that you want to continue your service, you can save 10% off your first order with code CULTCAST at checkout. And if you order a year of service, not only do you get even more savings, but you get a free domain name. It's squarespace.com, and the code to use is CULTCAST. Okay, let's talk about the Siri speaker. Can I just run through the news or the items in this news real fast, then we can talk about it?
Yeah, please do.
So here's the info for everyone who hasn't been following this. So earlier this week, we had heard that Apple is currently in the process of finalizing the design of its first standalone Siri device, which is expected to take on the Amazon Echo. Now we have more of an idea of what it actually might look like and when it could be revealed. So, the Siri-based smart speaker in Home Hub, we've talked about this a little bit in the past, has an over 50% chance of being announced at WWDC. Wouldn't that mean it has a 50% chance of not being announced at WWDC also? This is according to our homeboy, everyone's favorite Apple analyst, Ming-Chi Kuo, who is the only guy that seems to ever get anything right, at least in the analyst world. Let's see here. Kuo said that the new smart speaker will likely launch in the second half of 2017, and here's a major bummer, will cost more than the Amazon Echo, which is currently $179.
Surprise.
And I don't think worth $179. I've gotten both my Echoes for less than $150, and I don't think I would pay more. The device will supposedly work with AirPlay, obviously, but here's the part that actually titillates me. It's supposed to have excellent acoustic performance, even better than the Amazon Echo. That's supposed to be one of its marquee features. And it's supposed to include one subwoofer, 7 tweeters. And you may have caught last week Sonny Dixon, who's the guy who always leaks stuff on Twitter, who has a pretty good track record of getting his hands on prototypes, said that the speaker could be announced as early as WWDC and will run a variation of iOS and include unspecified Beats technology, which made my eyebrow go up because I thought they said it was supposed to sound good.
Oh! Good one.
Let's see here. A report from The Information said Apple's smart home speaker would be able to control appliances, locks, lights, and curtains. Who has smart curtains?
Oh, the rich people.
I've never seen such a thing. The rich people do.
Yeah, the rich people of San Francisco.
Leander, do you have some? You probably have several sets. They probably sent them to you.
My goodness me. I tried to yell at the kids yesterday. They're my smart curtains. They close the curtains.
Close the curtains.
They wouldn't do it.
Daddy's drinking.
Right. we want the neighbors to see this, kids. Sham.
Let's see here. And that information report added that prototypes and testing may have facial recognition sensors. Leander, your thoughts on the Siri smart home speaker. What do you think?
It sounds like the return of the iPod Hi-Fi.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Only it'll look nicer.
And do
and be
more
powered
stuff.
With Siri. Yeah. So,
yeah.
But way too expensive, yeah.
And be smaller, too, yeah, I guess. Like,
it's supposed
it's
to be like
tube,
the MacBook
or?
Pro, I thought. Isn't that what somebody said?
This is sort of what
oh,
it looks like.
Oh, you mean
like,
the Mac Pro.
Yeah,
like
Mac
the Mac
Pro.
Pro.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. Yeah, it's supposed to have a mesh design all the way around it, an indentation on the top, and be similar in form factor to the Mac Pro. In fact, I saw somebody, I think on Cult of Mac, saying, well, that's what they're going to be doing with all those old Mac Pros. That they're going to be
gutting them and sticking some speakers in it.
Exactly. It's a good idea because the Mac Pro is beautiful, but you know, you don't always display a computer. You know, at least with a speaker, you kind of want it to be out in the open and stuff.
What's this? You know, like a face recognition sensors, i.e., a camera.
Oh, that's kind of creepy.
Yeah, there was a rumor that it might have a camera in there and may be able to recognize people's faces so that it could figure out who was talking to it and react to those commands accordingly. And there was also a rumor, although I don't think this is going to be something that ships in the first iteration of this product, that the version of Siri that they're working on, which may be included in this product or may not be, could actually recognize your voice. And that could be used as like a security measure, which I think would be amazing. But from what I was researching, this technology, it's something that Apple's patented, but it's not something that seems like it's going to be ready for prime time anytime soon. But do you remember one of the best movies of all time, Sneakers? Did you guys ever see that movie?
What?
Sneakers? You never saw Sneakers?
I think so.
I did. Angelina Jolie or something?
What?
Oh, is that Hackers?
That was Hackers, probably. Probably one of the most terrible movies of all time. Sneakers, Dan Aykroyd, River Phoenix, Robert Redford, of course.
Ben Kingsley.
And Ben Kingsley.
Sidney Poitier.
Yeah. Sidney Poitier. You've never seen this movie, Leander?
I've never heard of it.
What happens?
Buster, have you seen it?
No.
Is it about a pair of smelly old...
How did you know who was in it?
I IMDb'd that shiz while we're talking.
Oh, damn, that was fast, dude. Oh, my gosh. If you guys haven't seen Sneakers, Leander, you shouldn't watch it because you'll hate it. But, Buster, you should check it out.
It's
one of the finest films of our time. It's probably like... actually pretty old now. It's like 20 years old now. But dude, it's so good. And these guys are old school hackers, for lack of a better way to describe it. And they're trapped inside this security device that uses your voice as a password, and it would like analyze your voice and use that as a security mechanism for you to like get into like this building. And I was thinking, how cool would that be for Siri? Like if it could actually recognize the intonation of your voice, the way you say things, and you could just unlock like your house, you could unlock your Mac or that kind of thing.
Siri,
using
let
just
me
your
in.
Voice, that'd be cool. Siri, I'm locked out. That'd be amazing.
Well, they
anyway.
Really have all this stuff. You know, Google Home just added multiple voices to its Google Home device.
Oh, did
speaker.
It really?
And then, you know, that was actually just a couple of weeks ago. And
does it know who's talking based upon just the sound of your voice?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Because and you know, that makes it multi in a household. You have to have that, right? Because a lot of these features, the functions like the calendar, you know, what's going on today? What meetings do I have? You know, they're very specific to an individual. And this is what, you know, this is one of the big criticisms of the Google Home and Echo 2 is that it didn't recognize individuals, you know, so it couldn't be personalized, some of the services. It makes it kind of useless in a home setting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and if you were asking it to add stuff to your calendar, it would need to know whose calendar you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's actually one of the big weaknesses of the Amazon Echo, in my opinion, is it doesn't really know. Well, it's always linked to one specific Amazon account. So it doesn't interact well with multiple people unless you're just asking it basic questions. And then the other big problem with the Amazon Echo, in my opinion, is it's steeped in the Amazon ecosystem. And the one main reason I would actually want to have an Amazon or an Apple competitor to the Echo is just because it's going to be compatible with iMessage,
right,
it's going to be compatible with my calendar and
all that kind
of stuff.
Yeah,
all the stuff that I actually use day to day.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the Apple ecosystem.
I wonder if they're going to charge $300 for this thing. I bet you that's going to be the price point. It's going to be like $279. It's going to be like an Apple router. Which is going to be too much for a smart speaker, in my opinion. But we don't know very much about it. But how amazing would it be to have an Apple hub that you could control with your voice, controlling like the HomeKit stuff in your house? I think that would be very cool. Leander, do you actually have any HomeKit stuff in your house?
No, not really. No, I'm trying to. I do have something, but I've completely forgotten what it is.
You don't have like Hue lights or anything?
No, I bought some cheap ones. Oh. Actually, through Cold Mac deals.
Nice.
Some Bluetooth ones. So I've got some smart bulbs.
Yeah.
And I like, you know, the mood lighting. Everyone else hates, and there's a constant battle in our house. You know, I like to have it all freaky colors and low, and you know, get a nice mellow mood going on. And then yeah. Tracy comes home and she switches it up to like full white, blinding, you know, inside a photocopier light. But that's no. So they're not HomeKit compatible. We had a lock, but it was kind of annoying.
You know, I haven't reviewed any locks yet. I kind of want to check some out. But from all the reviews I've seen on the various locks that are out there, they seem to all have issues.
Issues?
Like none of, yeah, like none of them work perfectly.
Yeah.
And I don't know what those issues are, but none are extremely highly reviewed that I've seen.
Right. I've had, like, I tried one and it didn't, like, the motor wasn't strong enough for my door, it seemed like.
Or, yeah, right.
And then I think Bluetooth connections, I imagine, would be a problem a lot of times, too.
And then you're going to get locked out of your house.
Yeah.
And you'll end up like what's-his-face in Ghostbusters, whenever he leaves his apartment, he gets locked out.
Dan Aykroyd's character?
Do you know what I'm talking about, Buster?
No, I don't know.
No. It's Rick Moranis' character.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
Every time he leaves his apartment, he turns around and he's locked out. He's like, hey, let me in. That's going to be you if your smart lock stops working. Buster, what are your thoughts on a smart speaker?
Excited? I probably won't buy one, but I think Apple kind of... I think it'll be an interesting move by Apple. I hope that it has enough... like third-party support to make it a relevant rival to the Amazon Echo, because the Echo has a lot of stuff built in. But I'm sure Apple's going to make some super simple API where tons of apps can take advantage of it, and it's, you know, super slick, and so it'll probably be way better than the Echo.
It will probably be way better than the Echo for people in the Apple ecosystem, especially.
Right. Yeah.
Because, you know, the Echo is cool. Leander, you waxed on so much about the Echo. You kind of convinced me to buy one because you love your Echo so much. And I got one, and I just didn't really see a lot of the usefulness of the product. A lot of the functionality that they're constantly building in just doesn't really... apply to my lifestyle. Like, I don't ever really feel like I use any of the functionality that they're constantly adding to it.
Right.
The only thing I ever use are Echo, what's the weather, and then also the Spotify integration to use it as a Spotify speaker.
Right.
Are really the only two things I really ever use it for. Are you guys using it for a lot more than that?
I use it for a timer.
Oh, a timer.
Use it for what?
Timer. Set a timer.
Oh, yeah, I use it as a tea timer, too.
Yeah, timer. I've asked it a few questions, but yeah, you know, I got to admit, recently I haven't been using it as much as I did initially, you know, when I was playing around with it. I still use it for music, you know, like you said, it's kind of like Siri as well, you know, you just use it for, in a habit of only using it for a very small subset of the things that it can do.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, it's because it's not really integrated with that many, you know, with that many functions. That, you know, I haven't used it for shopping yet. I imagine it'd be kind of useful for that.
Oh man, it's terrible.
Really?
Oh, it's terrible for shopping. Maybe this is just me, but the reason I don't like the Echo for shopping is because you don't know what you're getting yourself into. You're like, Echo, order me an SD card. It's like, well, which one? And which brand do you want? And what speeds do you want?
Well,
and
right, but
are you getting the best price? Like, there's just all these pieces of information that I like to know before I order it.
Yeah, but what about
pizza?
Google Fresh, right? So,
yeah.
You know, like ordering groceries, you know, get me some more milk.
And well, what kind of milk? Do you want 2%?
Well, because
what brand do you want?
Doesn't it default to whatever?
How much is it going to cost?
Doesn't it default to whatever you bought last time?
Like,
whatever's on your shopping list? Yeah, so.
But if you've never bought milk before. I can imagine that, like the first time purchase, probably a pain.
Right. I gotta throw this in.
Maybe it's because I'm such a visual shopper. I like to see exactly what I'm getting myself into. And it's like those ridiculous Amazon buttons that you press a button and Tide shows up at your house.
Right.
I would never use one of those because there's just too much uncertainty happening in that scenario. It's gonna press a button. I don't know exactly what I'm getting.
Well,
how much it's gonna cost.
You set it up before.
Okay.
And that's funny.
Okay.
We did have a couple of those. And, you know, then mysteriously, all this soap powder started showing up at the house. So I think the kids were pressing the button. What does this do? So we got about six orders, you know, that were mysterious. I don't know where they came from.
Well, does it lock in your price, too? Because how would you know how much it's charging you?
Well, you know, you find out afterwards.
Oh my gosh, I can't even imagine ordering something and finding out how much it costs after the fact. It's like going to an American hospital.
No way to do things.
It's like, how much is this going to cost? We don't know. We'll send you a big bill afterwards. It's all over, though. So shopping on my Echo has not been a good experience. I had to call customer service once because I couldn't get something working. And it took them like 30 minutes to figure out why it wasn't working either. So I just kind of wonder, there's some of these use cases that I feel like Amazon is trying to figure out if they are actually going to be a thing. And some of them I don't think they're ever going to be something that people do. Like, all goes back to using, you know, computing in a spoken way. It's so far from being practical.
It's pretty nice for things like, you know, tuning in certain radio stations, you know, like changing the radio, calling up
on
particular
your Echo
shows. Yeah.
Oh, you can you can listen to the radio on it?
I do that all the time. I tell it to, you know, like play the radio from London, BBC Radio 1 or BBC Radio 4 or 6. Mm-hmm. And for the local radio station, KQED, and that always works really flawlessly. And that's definitely one thing I definitely do use it for quite a lot. You know, like, you know, playing something or playing music. Usually that works pretty well, you know, even specific songs, you know, that works really pretty well.
I agree with you. For music, the Echo is great. And for controlling Spotify, it's very good. And the one thing that I've said on the show before that I always reiterate, because if you've never used an Echo, you won't believe how well the voice recognition works. It's unbelievable, actually. I can say Echo from across the room. My Echo is like 50 feet away, and it immediately lights up and starts listening.
Right.
Or you can be talking to it in a room where there's other noise. People can be talking, the TV can be on, and you can say Echo, or whatever word you program it to listen for, and it will immediately start listening to you. And when you ask it something, it almost never gets it wrong.
Right.
And that's an experience that I have never had with Siri. And when I was reading the comments on Call to Mac for some of this stuff, they're just hilarious. People just roasting Siri. People are pissed. It's not just me. I always get tweets from people who defend Siri, and I'm happy that it works for you. I wish it worked for me that well, but it doesn't.
Oh, yeah.
It never works for me. So
and if they add, you know, like how many microphones does the Echo have? A good half dozen at least, right?
Oh, does it?
I think so.
I didn't realize that. So I bet you that the Amazon or the Apple Siri smart speaker is going to resolve a lot of these issues. I would hope. But that's going to be a big thing. And that was one of the main comments I saw people making in the comment threads of these articles is you don't need a new speaker. You need to make the software work first,
yeah, like,
right? And not release a new speaker until that happens.
A lot of the times it doesn't understand me, and it's because like Siri doesn't know words like DJ Cali or something like that. You want to play like his new song or something.
Yeah.
And that's not, you know, and it'll be like some weird stuff. And you're like, yeah. Apple like needs like contextual awareness or like Siri's just not hip, I would say.
You're like, Apple, where's the closest grocery store? And it's like, there are no fertility clinics in your area. And you're like, okay,
how did you get that from, you know?
Exactly. It's actually impressive. So regardless of all that, I am actually still quite excited for an Apple in-home speaker. I think it would be very cool to have a hub that you can control with your voice that interacts with the Apple ecosystem. I know I've said that like three times so far, but that's going to be the one saving grace of this product, I think, because I'm just not sure there's a big need for smart speakers yet. I haven't seen the Amazon Echo do anything that I would say is so amazing that it warrants spending, you know, $200 on it, besides the fact that it is a pretty cool speaker. But the one other thing I will mention is it looks like Apple has indeed placed orders for the speaker. DigiTimes was reporting that InventTech, which is a Taiwanese company that actually makes Apple's AirPods, has received the order for the Siri smart speaker and may be in production as we speak. So, fingers crossed we see some new products at WWDC. That would be pretty cool. Speaking of AirPods, holy moly. You know, it's been a while since we've talked about AirPods, but if you've been trying to get your hands on them, you know they are still sold out everywhere. You cannot get them. They're still sold out absolutely everywhere. How many months has it been now? When did the AirPods release? Do you guys remember?
It was at the end of
last
year.
3 months ago?
Yeah.
Wow. Was it really?
Yeah, because they came out for like limited supply, right? Just before the holidays. And then it's been like super tight ever since.
So it's been 5 months and they're still sold out everywhere.
Yeah, it's crazy.
So according to a new study conducted by Creative Strategies and Experian, the AirPods have let me read it this way. A total of 98% of AirPod owners say they are either very satisfied or satisfied with Apple's new wireless earbuds. Over 80% of the customers said they were very satisfied. And I have to say, I think the AirPods are probably my favorite product, maybe of the last 3 years, maybe of the last 5 years. They are amazing, and I love them. They are a fantastic product. And yes, wearing them will get you friend-zoned by every woman who sees you in them, but I think that's a fair trade-off, because even though the aesthetic is far too metrosexual for my tastes, they are magical devices for your ears. They sound good. They work so well. They stay connected, and the liberation that you feel from having no wires when you're out and about and just using these in your ears is totally worth the $179 that they cost. Can I get an amen, Leander Caney?
Amen. Yeah, right.
You love yours too?
Yeah, for all the same reasons. Yeah, it's totally true. Exactly right. Flawless. They work flawless. They sound great. Really easy to use. The little charging case is fantastic. I've been doing these long rides, you know, weekends with them, and it makes a really big difference to listen to music while, you know, out riding and exercising. And, you know, like, these are really long rides, like, you know, some are really, you know, six, 7 hours. And,
oh, boy, you're really getting back into it.
Yeah, so, you know, they run out of juice after about 3.5, 4 hours. So I put them back in the case, you know, for 20 minutes, and then they're charged up and they're good enough to get home. So it's great.
Nice.
I love the case, too. The case makes it so convenient to just carry them around, right. Just toss them in the case.
And all the things that people were afraid of, you know, losing them, getting damaged, you know, none of that stuff has come to pass. They've been, although I lost them the other day. I was putting a shirt on when I had them in my ears, and I felt it come out, and I thought it fell on the floor, and I couldn't find them anywhere. I spent about 20 minutes, and then eventually, like, I just sort of randomly, like, touched my shoulder, and there it was. It was wrapped up in the collar of my T-shirt. Nice. I felt like an idiot, though. Like, I really could not find them anywhere.
I lose mine probably once a week. I lose them all the time. Yeah. That's the one thing I would love to see Apple add as a feature is like a little, like a speaker or something in the case. So if you needed to page them via Find My iPhone, you could do that. Because currently, if the buds aren't outside of the case, then that functionality doesn't work. They have to be outside of the case. And I never leave my earbuds just sitting outside of the case. Every time I take them out of my ear, I put them right back
right.
in the case.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah.
I also love being able to wear just one so that if you're listening to a podcast or something, you don't have to have both in. It just, the battery life, I could go on. They're such a good product. They're such a good product. And I love mine. And if you don't own a pair and you're thinking about getting Bluetooth earbuds, I would clearly recommend getting some of the Apple ones because they work so well. Before we talk about this mysterious Tim Cook tweet, let's at least touch on this Microsoft MacBook clone, the new Surface laptop that came out this week. If you saw the commercial for it, which I'll link to in the show notes, you may have thought you were watching an Apple ad. Did you guys see that commercial?
No, I didn't. I didn't even look at it.
You weren't interested.
Yeah. I saw Microsoft and I turned my brain off. Yeah.
You're like, not trying to even read that. Well, the ad looks exactly like an Apple ad. In fact, I tweeted out yesterday that the only thing this ad is missing is Johnny Ive and a $100 V-neck because it looks exactly like an Apple ad. And the new Surface laptop has a beautiful industrial design, and the commercial shows all the different components being built and how it's all, you know, constructed together. And a lot of people were pissed about this because they're like, oh, you know, Microsoft is copying Apple and clearly is trying to make a MacBook clone. And my original thought was, this is a great thing because you know what? Apple needs, I'm going to say this out of love, and I know a lot of you feel the same way. I'm going to say this out of love because I want to see Apple do better. Apple needs a serious kick in the arse. Like, they're dragging their feet so badly on the Mac, and we've talked about this in past shows. It's unacceptable. They need to do better. And when you have Microsoft out industrial designing Apple, like when you see like the Surface Studio and the way it works and how beautiful it is, you kind of have a puzzling moment. You're like, what's going on here?
This is
baffling. Like, what is happening that Microsoft is out designing Apple in some respects? Now, I don't know anything about the Surface Studio. I haven't spent more than 5 minutes with it. I don't know if it's a good machine. Yes, it's running Windows. I don't think that it is a Mac replacement by any means. But Microsoft is really taking industrial design seriously, and they are innovating iteratively now. Like, you see them continuing to release better and better products. And their products, their hardware products, are starting to look damn good, in my opinion.
But yeah, it's funny, you know, Apple, Microsoft's having kind of like this Apple moment, you know, when Steve Jobs came back, when they're kind of getting their mojo together. Mm-hmm. And the hardware products they've been putting out are really, really good. In fact, they seem, you know, like, I don't see any buzz for anyone else, you know, like Dell or any of the other computer manufacturers, you know, any of the stuff that they're putting out. It's all the praises for the Microsoft. Maybe that's just a perception, you know. I mean, I know.
No, I think that's right. I mean, their industrial design is really pioneering.
I know they have right now. They're pretty. I know the Apple's industrial design team share quite a lot of DNA with Microsoft's design team. Like, when I was doing the Johnny Ive book, I tried to interview a couple of people on the Microsoft design team, hoping that they would talk about Apple's industrial design team. Mm-hmm. But you know, they declined. And also, I think, you know, there was, I can't remember what the connection was, but there's you know, they have quite a lot of there's connections between them, you know, like these designers have gone from one shop to another, or from similar schools, you know, and I know they're definitely well respected, the Microsoft industrial design team. I think they've recruited, Apple recruited a couple of people from the Microsoft years ago. Anyway, yeah, it's definitely, they've been doing, they, you know, it looks like really, really good work. The Surface looks really good. And these new laptops.
They definitely are borrowing some design language from Apple.
Right.
But I think that's okay. Competition is a good thing. This works for us, right? This is good for consumers.
Yeah, it raises, you know, it raises all the boats, this rising tide.
And I kind of feel like Apple's on their heels at the moment. They've realized. You don't think so?
I agree with the sentiment for sure that it's good to have some competition. It's good to keep them, you know, like, to have people, you know, praising other companies' designs. Mm-hmm. It's nice to see they're not, you know, like, because it was at a certain point where everyone was fawning over everything that Apple did. And it's good to see that other people are, you know, other companies, and Samsung too, you know, like, I think Samsung's hardware is always really nice. And Huawei's hardware is real nice. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of good hardware on the Android side. It's just the software stinks.
That's one of the big downfalls of Microsoft's products. I actually like Windows 10, but it's not Mac OS. And Mac, I have a definite love for Mac OS and the Apple ecosystem. I'm so steeped in it. I like it here. So I don't want to move to a Microsoft product, even if the outside looks gorgeous. And it sucks because, you know, Apple isn't creating the MacBook Pros that I want. And that's hard because I'm willing to spend the money if Apple would just come out with a product that I thought met my needs. But, and I've said this before, I feel like in an effort to be pioneering, Apple has removed a lot of the practicality from their MacBook Pro. And I think the new MacBook Pro is a clear example of that. They took out a lot of the useful stuff that I would use, you know, day in and day out. And that I love about my old MacBook Pro that I'm still working on because I don't feel like I have an upgrade path. But where am I going to go? I mean, Windows. I've talked about going to Windows before, but we all know I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to switch to a Windows laptop. I'm not going to go get a Dell, dude, and work on that instead. So it sucks because it's like, what do you do?
Yes.
It's like when you have a crush on a girl and she doesn't like you and you're like, shoot, what am I going to do now? I don't want to date anyone else. I want to date you. You don't like me.
Well, the new Windows S is taking a lot of cues from iOS, right? So it has a dedicated app store now, and the default setting is that you can only install apps from the app store.
Well, I think that's okay. So for those that didn't catch that, so this new Surface laptop is coming with a basically a dumbed down version of Windows, in my opinion. It's called Windows S, Windows 10S, and it only runs apps downloaded from the Windows Store, as Leander just said, which I think is a major shot in the foot. I mean, why would anyone want to buy a laptop that only runs Windows App Store apps? I have no idea.
Well, that's exactly, but there's a lot of advantages. You know, there's definitely security and trust, that you're not installing anything that's going to mess with your system. I think that counts for a lot.
Maybe for people who aren't advanced computer users, I don't know if that's the right way to describe them.
I don't think
if they're like grandmas and grandpas or something, and they're like, I just want to have my computer work. I don't really care about installing.
But I'd like to, I'd like that too. And in fact, that's the kind of the default setting on the MacBook now anyway, isn't it? On the Mac, you can change the settings.
Yeah.
But it's nice not to have to worry about it, to think it's a headache,
But yeah, but you're not just buying all your apps from the App Store on your Mac,
are you? Because the best ones don't go on the App Store anymore.
The best ones, aren't in the App Store.
Right, but if there's a choice, I will choose the App Store because I want that peace of mind.
So you're really that worried about...
Not worried, I don't want the headache, I know that, I've, in the past... a couple of times I thought my Mac was infected, it's acting up, it's doing something strange, doing things I didn't, want it to do, and I don't want to go through that headache of having to try to figure it out. And then if there's something wrong, to reinstall the thing, to wipe it. I mean, it's a huge, huge amount of work. And so to save myself that, just not to worry about it, just to have that peace of mind to say, okay, I'm not going to be installing anything dodgy here.
Okay, I guess dodgy code for sure. You don't have to worry about anything malicious being installed on your computer. But
right,
it can still
be
bad
happens,
code
you know,
not work well.
I mean, I used to, I played around with torrenting, in years past, and some of those torrent clients, they were really, really sneaky, and they were installing.
One of those are the worst of the worst.
Right, true enough. But it installed spyware on my machine.
On your Mac?
Yeah.
Really?
Yep. And it was...
Oh, wow.
It did it because, all those on the installer. It told you it was doing it, but it was sneaky, the way it did it.
Yeah.
The installer, you click through all those agreements. Yeah, agree. Okay, sure. Yeah, just get on with it. And you click, you don't pay any attention. And then the next thing you've got this, it was like a browser takeover.
Yeah,
or a
right.
toolbar or something like that, that installed in Safari and took over all this stuff. Yeah,
oh,
it was terrible.
Oh, my gosh. I feel you, Leander. I haven't had that happen on my Mac in a long time. At least if there's spyware on my machine, I don't know about it. maybe that's the problem, is it's there and I just don't know.
Right, yeah.
So if you're interested in one of these Surface laptops, I mean, if you're listening to this show, you're probably not at all. But I'll tell you.
I've been hearing a lot. I mean, people have been tweeting us saying, they're going to switch over. Like a lot of people are saying, they want a pro machine. They want a pro, they want to run, people are complaining as well about touch, a lot of the pro apps not supporting touch interface. And this is what they're attracted to the Surface Studio.
Oh, my gosh. Because it runs. Touch is so overrated. I don't know why people love touch so much. I don't think it's useful at all.
I heard a lot of it, especially for the pro apps, like Cinema 4D and AutoCAD, they want touch to those, added to those apps. And the only way they're going to get it is on Windows.
Uh-huh.
There was quite a lot of discussion about that when they announced it this week. Hardcore Mac users really taking a serious look at it.
I wonder though if that's just a vocal minority. That would be my guess. I would guess that most people don't care about touch whatsoever.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll see. But it's, there's definitely that sentiment, or at least that thought,
Then you end up with finger smudges all over your screen. Looks disgusting. I can't stand having smudges on my screen. I can't stand having particles on my screen, period.
Yeah,
well, you have fingerprints all over it. It's like, ew.
I don't know. The apps that I played around with, like iMovie on the iPad, I think is much better and much easier to use than it is on the Mac.
Huh.
And, because they've rethought the application for a multi-touch interface, and they've made it a lot simpler, a lot easier to use. It's a lot more, it really was, and it's a really intuitive. I always found iMovie, not that intuitive. The logic of it, if you come from a video editing background, there's a certain logic, and I think it is easy to use if you understand the logic of how to how to edit movies in an application like iMovie. But it wasn't something that I could sit in front of and figure out without having to watch something on YouTube or crack a manual. Whereas iMovie on the iPad, you know, the multi-touch one, the iOS iMovie was. You could just, you know, you pick it up. I think it gets some cues, right? It had some overlays to tell you, mm-hmm. you know, like basically what to do originally. But it was super intuitive, super easy to figure out, and actually super fun to play around with. But anyway, you know, whether that logic can be, and some of the video editing, like, yeah. you know, Snapseed, right, Buster? You know, you were a big fan of that, weren't you?
Yeah.
The video, and, you know.
Oh, I love Snapseed. But here's one of the big things about touch interface on iOS that's different from the computer, is that in touch, you can use the screen flat on your lap, so you're still using it like a keyboard. But on a computer, you're having to hold your arms up, and you're using the screen perpendicular to the ground. And I feel like that's an unnatural state.
Well, right,
that's not the way to compute.
But unless you have, you know, something like the Surface Studio, where it hinges and it leans towards you, so it is like a desktop.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you guys see that one concept where like the bottom of the MacBook could be like a touch screen, and so then you would have like the touch screen there and then like the non-touch screen like display and interact with it that way?
You mean so it had screens on both sides?
Yeah, instead of a keyboard, like a real keyboard, it had like a touch screen, kind of like a giant touch bar.
I can get behind that, dude. You know what they
it
should do?
It actually sounded pretty good.
They should have like a mechanical keyboard up top, and then the entire rest below it, where the trackpad goes, but the same width as the keyboard, should be like a screen. Boom.
Yeah.
You can have that one. You can have that one. That one's free, Bob Mansfield. Okay. Well, let's move on. Let's wrap up with this final segment about this mysterious tweet.
Hottest story of the week.
Man, this blew up, didn't it?
It was so ridiculous.
Crazy. So for those that missed the hype, Tim Cook on Twitter, he sent out a very simple tweet, and then he deleted it mysteriously. It was just one smiley face, and that was it. He sent it out in the morning. No other context was provided. And then shortly thereafter, the tweet was deleted, setting Twitter into an uproar, because everyone was wondering what was the most powerful man in tech really trying to communicate to us all. I thought about this for hours. And at first I thought, I was like, okay.
Don't worry about, you know, healthcare or, you know, anything that's going on in Washington.
That's all extraneous, irrelevant information.
Right.
This is what's really important. And at first, I was like, clearly Tim Cook went into grandpa mode and probably replied to somebody and didn't realize he was putting it on his public timeline. Maybe he was responding to a direct message, or maybe he thought he was an iMessage. I mean, and he was accidentally using Twitter. That's also a possibility.
That was the major theory.
Yeah, that's baloney.
That's funny.
So let me tell you what I think really happened, and I think it was actually pretty genius of Tim Cook to do this. So he was probably on his way to work, and he was in the self-driving Apple car, and he wasn't having to use the steering wheel. He was just in the car, and the car was taking him where he needed to go, and he maybe had some Spotify or something going in the background, because you don't have to do anything when you're in the self-driving Apple car, right? You're just sitting there, and it's doing all the work for you. It's amazing. You're just sitting in a cabin being carted to your location. And I think, honestly, he was overwhelmed with emotion. He was like, this is amazing. This is the next level of Apple technology. Everyone's saying that we can't innovate anymore. And here I am sitting in the Apple car on my way to work, not even driving. And he was overwhelmed with emotion, and he took to Twitter, and he was trying to communicate how thoroughly pleased he was with the technology.
Good theory. Lots of evidence for that.
And of course, when he did that, Apple marketing, they freaked out. They're like, Tim, you can't do that. Everyone's going to know what's going on here. And so they immediately made him delete it. And he's been backpedaling ever since, making up this ridiculous story that he just sent that tweet out on accident, which nobody buys, Tim. We all know. Tim's way too smart to have made that simple grandpa mistake.
He doesn't make accidents, yeah.
That's exactly true. Tim Cook doesn't make mistakes. Everything's intentional with Tim Cook. So that's my theory. Leander, did you have a theory of your own, or should we just wrap up with that?
Well, Buster, I think it's probably more... better qualified to weigh in here. There was some speculation, like, because it was when
it was sent using some like weird old SMS app that Twitter bought, or SMS to Twitter service that they bought like way back in the day. So that was like the weirdest thing about it, I thought.
Wow.
So they thought, yeah, he was responding to a private message that went out on Twitter. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Or like a notification or something, and he replied to the wrong one or something. Or he just
Well, I've definitely had that because, you know, I've had Twitter messages come in through iMessage. And have replied.
Oh, that's true. You have done that.
I've done that loads of times.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, I did it loads of times.
Oh, yeah, all the time.
And then I reply and it would all be public, you know.
And I'd always be confused how that, how you would get that confused and stuff. But it's very easy.
Well, because it was coming through iMessage, so it looked like a private message. Yeah. But it was actually a Twitter, you know, message. Yeah. Tweet.
Yes, my inner thigh rash is even worse than it was before. Right. Cannot stop scratching it. Here's pick.
Yeah. I did. There was
like, wow, Leander's really just letting it all out on Twitter.
I did a couple that were kind of sensitive. I can't remember what it was, but then, you know, like I got tons of messages. My phone really blew up. Like people saying, "Oh, do you know that's public?"
I think I remember one time you let out your phone number or something like that, telling somebody to call, give you a call or something like that.
If you ever see, yes, please call me back, Leander's phone number on Twitter. You know exactly what happened. Okay, well, let's go ahead and wrap it up there. That's all the cult cast we have for you guys this week. If you want to come tell us what you think about our theories of the Apple speaker and Tim Cook's mysterious tweet, we're on Twitter. I'm at Arifon Busters, BST3R. Leander is L. Caney. This has been the Coldcast, the best 30-plus minute Apple conversation you're going to hear all week long. New episodes of the Coldcast come out every Thursday night. I want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you guys. Leander, you want to try and do an emperor for me?
I don't know how it talks.
Next time.
That was pretty good. Are you eating something though?
Yeah, so I was eating my salad.
'd be weird if like you were just walking through the Death Star and you saw the Emperor eating lunch. I mean, the guy had to eat, right?
Yeah.
He's just like eating a hoagie.
Well, I know. He eats babies, isn't he?
Oh, he eats babies. What is that? It looks delicious. It's a baby. Oh, never mind.
Not a gummy baby.
Like a real baby.